Again, tonight, I am thankful for everybody that's here. If you're here tonight and not saved, I'm glad you're here. Thankful that you're here tonight. I appreciate the songs once again, and we sung at the beginning the song "Win the Lost at Any Cost," and we sing that, and we think about how that we certainly need to be willing to do whatever we can to reach those who are lost, to work as hard as we can to reach out to them with the gospel. But I know that there have been many through the years, it seems, that have, in an attempt to get more people, they were willing to lay aside doctrines and principles that never should have been forsaken, and try to make things easier, make an easier way. But the Lord made a way of salvation, one way. And I'll tell you, when people come His way, they can really get saved. They can be truly saved. And so we are here tonight to, and through this revival, to set forth the truth and to try to change the message or water down the gospel to make it easier for people. That's not what winning the lost at any cost is about. We've got to win people according to the truth, don't we? And I've never, in all the years that I've been acquainted with Brother Moran and associated with him and worked with him in revivals and been with him in different services, I've never heard Brother Moran do anything but preach the truth. And I'm confident that, lost friend, that you'll hear the truth tonight. And you need to listen to that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you need to listen with your natural ear, and you need to listen in your heart to what thus saith the Lord. And so I love Brother Moran. I'm thankful for his work in the ministry, his work for the Lord. I'm thankful to have him here with us in this revival effort. And I'm going to turn the service over to him and ask him to come and just bring before us what God has placed upon his heart. Pray for him.
Well, it's indeed a joy and a pleasure for me to be here tonight in this service to begin this revival. As all of you know, I'm at home. I still hold membership here at Fairview Memorial. And I was thinking this afternoon, the Lord has given me so many precious memories at this place. I have memories of things that took place in this altar. I have memories of things that took place in this baptistry. I have memories of weddings, funerals, and just friendships that are so precious to me and that I hold so dear. And I'm so thankful to have this opportunity. I appreciate the confidence the church has placed in me. I thought this afternoon what Jesus said. He said, a prophet is without honor in his own city, his own town. He's most of the time, we seem like we honor those who come from out of town more than we do those who are at home. But you've honored me in inviting me to help in this revival, and I'm thankful for the opportunity and thankful to be able to work with Brother Miller again. And I want you to pray for me. I need your prayers. I really do. I'm older than I was when I left here, and my ability has diminished somewhat, at least my memory has, and so your prayers will help me a great deal in that respect, so please pray for me. I want to join Brother Miller in saying that we're glad to have everyone here, glad to have the visitors that are with us tonight, and we want you to join us in labor. And if God gives you something to do in this service, we want you to do it. So you pray for me as I endeavor to speak to you for a little while. I never know how to start in a revival. I have this problem every revival that I've ever worked in. It's hard to know how to start out, what to try to preach on. And of course, we pray and we ask the Lord for leadership and direction. But the Lord gave me a subject for tonight about 10 days or 2 weeks ago. And it's still with me, and so I'm going to try to do what I feel like the Lord wants me to do tonight. My lesson will be taken from the 16th chapter of the book as recorded by Matthew. I'm going to start at verse 13. This is very familiar. You've heard it many times, I'm sure. But this is where I want to begin tonight. Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now that's my lesson for tonight, and I pray that God will add his blessing to the reading of his word, and that it'll be for our good and for his honor and glory. I want to take my subject from that 19th verse that I read in your hearing, where Jesus said, "And I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." And I want to talk tonight about the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I believe tonight that the kingdom of heaven on this earth is the church that the Lord Jesus Christ established while he was here in the world. And Jesus was on the earth at the time that he uttered these words. It was during his personal ministry. And he asked the disciples, and I don't know how many disciples the Lord had. I know that he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, which he ordained to be apostles. And he gave them power and authority and sent them forth to preach. And sometimes we talk about the disciples, we may have the idea that it's only having reference to the 12. But we are disciples of the Lord Jesus, are we not? I believe tonight that we are disciples. We are followers of the Lord Jesus. We are learners of the Lord Jesus. He's still teaching us, and I'm still learning, and I hope that you are as well. But he asked, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they answered. And perhaps more than one of them gave an answer. I don't know. But the only answer that we have recorded is the answer that the Apostle Peter gave. Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, and he said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Now Jesus was already in the process of building up his church. It had already been established. It had been founded. It had been established. And it had been organized so that it could function. And the Lord had already ordained the apostles and set them in the church and sent them forth to preach. And so he was in the process of building up his church. You know, the commission that Jesus gave to the church was to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. Go to every nation, teach them, then baptize them, and then teach them to observe the things that he had instructed them to teach. And the church that Jesus established, it was to grow. It was to flourish. You know, there's a parable in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew that says, "The kingdom of heaven is unlike unto a mustard seed, which is the least of all the herbs. But when it's planted in the ground, it grows and becomes the largest of all the herbs. And the fowls of the air come and land in the branches of the tree." And so Jesus intended for his church to grow. And the way the church grows is by adding to it. But he also intended that it spread out and that it multiply. I thought about the verse of scripture that's found in the book of Daniel in the second chapter in the 44th verse. The Bible says that the Lord God of heaven would set up a kingdom which would never be destroyed. It would not be left to other people, but it would break in pieces and consume all the other kingdoms. And that is a picture of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus as it grows. It started out very small. And I don't know if you ever thought about this or not, how the church started. It started with a mission effort. It really did. The true church of the Lord Jesus started with a mission effort. The Bible says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And John was on a mission. He was sent into the world. And by the way, I want to tell you that John hadn't been in heaven before that he began preaching. But when it says there was a man sent from God, it means that God called him and God sent him. He had an earthly mother and an earthly father. He was born into this world just like you and I were. But he was on a mission from God. And I believe today that even as this church meets together in revival services, that we are on a mission from God. That commission that was given to the church back some 2,000 years ago is just as valid, and it is in effect just as much today as it was the day that Jesus spoke the words. And so we're on a mission. But John, the Bible said that when he was born, Zechariah had been mute, he had been dumb and he couldn't speak because when God told him that Elizabeth was going to conceive and bear a child, he doubted, and so he was struck dumb until the child was born. But when they brought the child to the temple and they named him and circumcised him, his tongue was loosed and he began to prophesy and to praise God. And he said that God hath opened up a horn of salvation to Israel. And he said he hadn't forgot us, but he sent us a redeemer. And I could turn to the first chapter of the book of Luke and read those verses. And I know I haven't given them word for word, but I assure you that that I haven't informed anyone about what it says. And God, you know, he spoke by inspiration and by the Spirit. And after he had talked about the Redeemer coming and how that God had given a horn of salvation to Israel, he picked up that baby and he held him in his arms. And he said, "And thou, child, thou shalt be, well, I told you, now you all just have to pray, because sometimes I just can't quote like I want to." And he said, "And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. And he said, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins." And so John, that's what he did. He prepared people for the Lord. And the way he prepared them, he preached the gospel to them. He preached the word of the Lord. He came out of the wilderness of Judea preaching and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And those that repented, John baptized. And though thus he prepared people for the Lord to establish his church. Now, I didn't mean to say all of that, but I felt like I needed to say it. And so the church, it began with a mission effort. And the Lord Jesus took the people that had been saved and born again. And he began his church. And he left it here in the world. And so he intended for it to grow and for it to spread out and to go to all the nations of the earth. Now, the way John prepared people was to give the knowledge of salvation by the remission of sins. And that's what Peter had experienced. You know, when Jesus said, "Whom do men say that I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now we could go back over, I believe it's in the sixth chapter of the book of Mark. It may not be, but anyway, it's in the Gospels. It's recorded there. It's in John. I know where it's at. It's in the book of John. And Jesus had fed the multitude. And a lot of the people were following him just for the physical benefits, you know, that they were getting out of bread and fishes. And when Jesus began to preach to them, they turned and they went back. And they followed him no more. And Jesus said to the disciples, "Will ye also go away?" And here again, Peter spoke and he said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." And he said, "And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ that was to come." And so Peter had a personal knowledge in his heart. He was personally acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't somebody that led him into a profession. When he believed in Jesus and was saved, he received the knowledge from God through the revelation of the Spirit. And that's the way you know when you get saved. And the Bible says that his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And that's the way the Apostle Peter knew it. Now, that was Peter's confession. We hear people today talk about Peter's confession, and some of them advocate that all you have to do is just acknowledge that that Jesus is the Christ, then go be baptized and you're all right. But I'm going to tell you today, my friend, that Peter's confession was more than just the utterance of words. He knew in his heart that he had been born again, and he knew who Jesus was, and Jesus knew who he was. Peter was on the rock, wasn't he? He was on the rock. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This church that Jesus started, it was to last from that time throughout all ages, world without end, until Jesus comes again. And it is still in the world today. But anyway, Jesus said, and I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And he wasn't talking, only to Peter. Peter, as an individual, never received the keys of the kingdom. But the keys of the kingdom were given to the church. And I'm going to affirm tonight that this church holds the keys to the kingdom of heaven. This church tonight holds the keys to the growth of the church. This church has the keys to the multiplication of the church, the spreading out of the church, and taking the gospel to all people all over the world. And so I want to talk to you tonight about the keys. And the keys represent authority, but they also represent more than authority. They also represent access. I'm glad tonight, folks, that we not only have the authority to meet here and to preach the gospel and to administer the ordinances and to ordain men, but my friend, we have access tonight. We have access. We have a standing with God. We are the children of God. We have been born from above, born of the Spirit. Our sins have been removed. Not only have our sins been removed, but we have a legal standing with the Lord God of heaven. And Paul put it like this in the 5th chapter of the book of Romans. Paul said, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So we have a standing with God, and we have access to God's throne. We have access to the power of God. I want to say some things about that in just a minute. But I'm telling you that the keys of the kingdom will open up the windows of heaven. And they will bring blessings. You know, in the book of Malachi, the Bible says, try me herewith and see, saith the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out upon you a blessing that you will not have room to receive. I believe tonight that God's storehouse is filled with blessings. I believe it's just as full tonight as it's ever been. And I believe God wants to pour out his blessings upon our church. And he wants us as the members of this church to use the keys of the kingdom in order to accomplish that. I like the power, don't you? I love the power of God. I read in the Bible where Jesus, when he sent the disciples out, he said, I'm going to send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And then before Jesus ascended to heaven, he and his disciples walked on the Mount of Olives and they talked about the kingdom of heaven and other things as well. While they were walking and while they beheld, he was received up into the heavens. But before he made his ascent, Jesus said, now ye shall receive power After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And do you know that really took place? It really did happen. That little church went to the upper room in Jerusalem, and they continued in one accord with prayer. And the Bible says that while they were praying, and they were in that room, in one accord, that suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the room where they were sitting. And I tell you, they received power, didn't they? All those preachers, they went out and they began to preach. And that day, 3,000 souls were saved. And so that tells me that the power of God actually came just like Jesus promised that it would. And it's been in the church ever since that day. But I want you to think about this a minute. Peter and John, some days later, I don't know how long, whether it was weeks or maybe months, they went up to the temple to pray. And as they were going, there was a cripple. He was an invalid. He couldn't walk. And he was carried every day. And they sat him by the gate called Beautiful. As they were going, he was sitting there begging alms, and he was asking for money. And Peter, he said to him, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he reached forth his hand, and that old boy grabbed him by the hand. And he jumped up from there, and he began running and jumping and leaping and praising God. They called Peter and the others in question about this. In fact, they arrested them, and they took them before the council. And they said, "We want to know by what power or what authority this was done." And Peter said, "It was through the name of Jesus." And I'm telling you, there's still power in the name of Jesus. People can still get a hold of God because we have access into this grace wherein we stand. And the power is still available to us tonight. I read a little bit further in the book of Acts, chapter 4, where the Bible tells about the apostles, how they preached the word with power. And I'd love to be able to preach the word with power. I'll tell you, we need more than a formality. Amen. We need more than just going through the motions. Amen. I tell you, we need the help of God. Amen. And we can get the help of God because God wants to help us. Amen. I believe that. I believe God wants to help us. And so I love the power. I want to talk to you just for a few minutes, and I don't purpose to preach long, but I want to talk to you about some of the things that I consider to be keys to the kingdom of heaven. One of them is faith. One of them is faith. You know, the Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that faith makes real that we're hoping for, that we are desiring. And it says it is the evidence of things not seen. You know, God is able to give us the desires of our heart and give us the assurance, the reality of it, isn't it? God can do that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And by it, the elders obtained a good report. And then he gives a list of those who through faith done great things for God. But in the sixth verse, he said, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God." And I tell you tonight, faith is important. I hope tonight that God will increase our faith. I know sometimes our faith gets weak, and sometimes it seems like we have no faith. And Jesus even asked the disciples one time, how is it that you have no faith? And sometimes our faith gets weak like that. But oh, how I would to God tonight that he would give us faith. Faith in God. Faith in God. You know, God is the Almighty. He's the Almighty. He has all power in heaven and in earth. Nothing is impossible with God. You know, he is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think. So, you know, there's nothing lacking on God's part tonight, is there? Not a thing lacking on God's part. God is a merciful God. He is long-suffering. He is full of grace. And he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he would have all men to be saved to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so tonight, there's nothing lacking on God's part. And we need to have faith in God, that God will hear, and God will answer, and God will save, and God will revive, and God will restore. You know, he's able to do all of that. But listen, we not only need faith in God, we need to have faith in the gospel, don't we? You know, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I believe we can trust the gospel, don't you? We have God's promise even that his word will not return void. You know, even with the feeble effort that I put forth in trying to preach, you know, I can go home and lay my head on the pillow if I've done the best that I can to follow God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and I can be assured God is going to take care of that. It will accomplish that whereunto he sends it. And it will prosper in the things of whereunto he pleases. And so the commission was, preach the gospel to every creature, every nation, all people, everywhere. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them that he saves. Tell them that he died on the cross for them. And that he was buried and he rose again. And he lives and he can hear your prayer when you pray. Amen. And he can answer your prayer. And I'm glad tonight for the power of the gospel. But I want you to listen just a little bit further here with me, if you will. You know, we need to have faith in the church. And we need to have faith in each other. You know, we need to, as Jesus said, love one another with a pure heart fervently. That's important that we do that. But it's important that we have confidence in each other, that we trust each other. I hope tonight that you're convinced that I'm preaching what God wants me to. Now, there may be some of you sitting back there and say, well, he missed it tonight, you know. And I've said that about preachers, haven't you? Sure I have. I'd be telling a falsehood if I said I hadn't. But, you know, I hope that you've got confidence in me. And I hope that you have confidence in every one of your brothers and sisters. Because it's important that we do that. It's important that we have confidence. And it's important that we have confidence in ourselves, too. Do you know? I really believe this. I believe it's important that I have confidence in what I'm doing right now. And whatever it is God wants you to do, it's important that you have faith that God is leading you and that you will do what God wants you to do. I hope everybody is living close enough to the Lord that you can have confidence in what you're doing. You know, that you can have confidence in yourself. When God speaks to our hearts, I tell you, He wants us to get up and do it. Amen. You know, we need to get up and do it, and get up and do it then. Not wait until some other time. Amen. We need to have enough confidence. Now, if we're living so far away from God that we can't, you know, get a hold of God, you might not have much confidence in yourself. But I tell you, if we're living where God wants us to be, we can have confidence in ourselves. We know who we are, don't we? Yes, sir. We're children of God. We have been born of the Spirit. We have a standing with God. And He has promised to lead us and to guide us into the truth and to do the things that He wants us to do. And so we need to have that kind of faith tonight. Faith in God, faith in our church, faith in the gospel, faith in one another, faith in ourselves. It's important. If we want to have a good revival and have the power of God come down in our midst and convict and save souls, we need to have faith. And we need to have faith in the system. And what I mean by system and the way we do things. Folks, I believe that our old-fashioned missionary Baptist churches are doing the right thing, and they're doing them in the right way. I believe in that. I trust that. And I believe God's going to honor it, and God's going to bless it if we'll serve Him. You know what the system is? We sow the seed. We sow the seed. And then we wait for the harvest. Amen. And you know, I don't know anything else to do. Do you? You know, the Bible says that in the 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that one sows or plants and another waters, but it's God that gives the increase. You know, after you've sown the seed, you know, you just have to wait. You can't make it germinate. You can't make it take hold. I can preach a sermon tonight, maybe, you know, and if I had my way about it, it would convict every lost person in this building. I mean, they wouldn't even wait till I got done preaching to come to the altar. They'd make their way to the Lord, you know. But, you know, I can't make it. I can't do that. That's the work of God. But I believe in the system. I believe if we preach the word, that God will send the rain and God will send the harvest. And we can enjoy it. I want to just make one other point and then I'm going to close. I want to say this to those of you that are lost. It's important that you hear this. You don't need a key today to get into the kingdom of God. Because there is an open door set before you. Jesus said in the 10th chapter of the book of John, He said, let me turn over there to that and look at it just for a minute. If I could ever say the first verse or the first words, I probably could do the rest of it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Is as a thief and a robber. The same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door, thank you. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. Now the disciples heard this, and they didn't understand it. They said, Lord, I want you to explain that to us. And so Jesus explained the parable. And this is what he said. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door. I am the door. He said, by me, if any man enters in, any person he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now that door is open. Jesus said, come unto me. Come unto me. I'll give you rest. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, you're tired of sin. You've been wrestling, trying to get right with God. You've been praying and seeking and doing everything you know how to do to try to get right with God. You're tired of that. Jesus said, come to me. Come unto me. I'll give you rest. Now that's a promise from Jesus. And over in the book of the Revelation, there's the last invitation of the Bible. And I'll have to go over there too. Glad I got a Bible, aren't you? I want you to get this. This is what he says. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And he said, and let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. The plan of salvation is by grace, it's through faith. It's by grace, it's through faith. It's not by works. You know, you cannot, there's nothing you can do to merit salvation. You just come to Jesus and you ask him to forgive you and to save you. And he will. I believe that he will. He made this promise. He said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. So you can come to Jesus tonight. And you can get into the kingdom of heaven. You can come to Jesus. And you can be saved. And you'll know when you get saved. And I'm not trying to, you know, make salvation so easy, you know. But I'm telling you, I'm not trying to make it so hard either. I believe this. I believe that Jesus saves. I believe that Jesus wants to save. I believe that Jesus is willing to save. And I believe that every sinner that comes to him and puts their faith and trust in him with all their heart, he does save. And so tonight, the door is open. Jesus is the door. In fact, he may be knocking on your heart's door right now, wanting to get in. You know, there's a passage of scripture in the book of Revelation, chapter 20. I believe it's maybe verse, I don't remember what verse it is. Jesus was talking to the church at Laodicea. And Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now, I know this was written to a church. But I believe tonight that Jesus knocks on the heart of sinners too. He stands at the door and knocks. And he says, if any man will open up, open unto me, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Tonight, if you're here and the Lord is speaking to your heart tonight, he's knocking on your heart. He's letting you know that you're lost. You're separated from God and you need to be saved. Won't you come to Jesus? Won't you open your heart and let him come in? You say, well, how do you do that? Well, when you come to God in faith, believing, trusting in God, I tell you, that door will open. And Jesus will come into your heart. And you can be saved and born of the Spirit. I'm going to close. I trust that God will bless this little message tonight. I believe this as much as I believe I'm standing here. I believe this church has the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And I believe we have access to the power of God. And I want to ask us, all of us, to let God have His way. Let God have His way in this service. I want us to have a song, Brother Sanford.